Welcome to Braided, helping you balance tradition in an untraditional world. This is a show where we gather and talk about all things faith, family, and business. I'm so glad you joined us. Hello, hello, you guys. Okay, I'm going to check my audio because apparently my audio from this afternoon was off. Okay, so I think it's working. Actually, I can't check it on Facebook because I'm only on Facebook for client stuff. But I can check my YouTube. So yeah, I had no idea. I did a whole day two and day three Advent study with my audio off. So I'm so sorry about that, guys. We're working. Yay. So I know it's late, but I did not want to end the day without getting this up and going. So obviously a lot of you will be watching it on the replay tomorrow because it's so late. But I just could not go to sleep knowing that a day two or day three didn't get through to you guys because I can't believe my audio is off. So I apologize for any of you that tried to watch that and couldn't. And thank you to the ones who sent me a DM letting me know my audio was not working. Because with me not getting on social media, I'm not really checking it often. So anyway, I've been a little under the weather today, so please excuse if, you know, I look a mess. I'm going to try to go through this really quick because it is late. And I'm ready to take some medicine and get to bed. Okay, so day two, the Savior of the world. Today's reading, Luke 2. Other passages to ponder. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Romans 5, 1 through 2. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. The entire universe worships the King of Kings, but as humans, we often miss out on this privilege. We're often so focused on ourselves that we become prideful, angry, and annoyed with others, especially in the busyness of the holiday season. Today, take your eyes off yourself and fix your gaze on the King of Glory. Worship him today. Ashtrat Siyuku. I hope I said that name right. Over 2,000 years ago, shepherds stood on a hillside as they had done countless times before. They were most likely guarding sheep that would later serve as a sacrifice at the temple. Imagine what a night's work might look like for them. The stars overhead, the moon shining brightly, animal noises fill the air as the shepherds banter back and forth. Here again, you find unsuspecting souls going about their daily duties, unaware that heaven is about to invade earth. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Luke 2:8-14. The first Christmas was anything but commercialized, hurried, or overdone. Jesus came into the world through the womb of a poor teenage girl, was born in a cave, and placed in an animal trough. The world didn't make room for him. Still, heaven celebrated him. Those with ears bent toward heaven discerned Jesus' presence on the earth. The power of the Most High God rested upon this little makeshift gathering of shepherds, a baby and his young parents. But much of the world missed them, just as many in the world miss him now. Yet he came to us anyway. What a gift God's given us. Interesting, as Jesus grew up, some recognized him immediately because they'd been waiting for him. Others actually observed his miracles, watched him fulfill prophecies before their very eyes, and still refused to believe. Every heart needs him. Few are willing to receive him. In her Bible study, Secrets Jesus Shared, Jennifer Kennedy Dean writes, "Every step that Jesus took on planet Earth, the spiritual realm was shouting, 'This is what God is like.' As he healed and taught and touched and laughed and loved, this is what God is like as he hung broken on the cross. This is what God is like when he rose from the grave and triumphed over death. This is what God is like." Have you noticed it? Celebrities, pop stars, and high-level leaders typically have an entourage to serve them, to anticipate and meet their needs. Someone to cook, clean, run errands, or run interference. Imagine what they would do. That would do to your ego if you had people to open doors, serve you food, and treat you like you're more important than they are. Many in positions of power or prosperity leverage their privilege in a way that benefits them, even if it's unfairly costs another. Before there was time, there was Jesus. Every created thing came through him. He is the star-breathing God, the King of the universe, and the Savior of the world. Yet Jesus did not even consider equality with God something to manipulate for his benefit. He did precisely the opposite. Jesus leveraged his statues as God because he could, for our benefit, and it cost him his life. Prideful people won't even wait on hold unless they'll be talking to someone more prideful and vital than themselves. But Jesus stands at the door of your heart and knocks and waits and lets you decide if you'll let him in. Ashrit Sichu writes, again, I hope I'm kind of at least saying that name right, "We do not trifle with a weakling, nor do we worship an incompetent wannabe rock star. We worship the King of Kings, who deserves all the honor and glory and continually receives it from the heavens, creation, angels, and the chorus of his redeemed. Who is the King of Glory? His name is Jesus. The King of the universe is not a tyrannical leader. He's the Savior of the world. The Christmas story isn't old news. It's good news. It's now news. Salvation is not just an addendum to the end of your life. And Christmas isn't just a quaint little story. When Jesus was born, God's kingdom came to earth. Don't let another moment pass by without giving God the glory he deserves. He sent his son to die in your place. Celebrate with joy, give meaningful gifts to those you love, help the poor, and enjoy a good party, but refuse to let the commercialism of Christmas quench the true spirit of this earth-shaking holiday. Jesus came, and he's coming again. Oh, worship the King of Glory, for he has done great things. Prepare him room. Jesus, my Savior, you came. You saw a world desperately in need, and you came. I receive your gift of grace. I believe you died in my place. Forgive me for my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit and show me how to live in a manner worthy of your name. The holidays quickly become self-indulgent noise if you're not in them. Fill my home, my family, and my heart with the wonder of your love and presence. Amen. Look up. Fast today from a shallow, commercialized holiday. Refuse to get weighed down by temporary circumstances. Consider the heavenly wonder that surrounds this actual celebration. Marvel that Jesus came to earth on a rescue mission with you on his mind. Rejoice. So this is, day two is such a great reminder of what we don't want Christmas to be. We don't want Christmas to just be that commercialized, it's all fun and games. I mean, yes, it's fun and games. I mean, I love a good Rudolph, a good Rudolph movie just as much as the next kid. I mean, I love Christmas. I love everything about it, including the fun part of it. But let this serve as an encouragement is to enjoy the fun part of it, but also remember what this story is about. And just keep in mind why we're celebrating, what this season represents. And I think that's so important. And I know for me, that's been super important to remind myself, because I have had past Christmases where I did get so caught up in all the other things, all the busyness, all the, you know, the food, the parties, the, you know, the presents and the decorations, and where all of that is fun and great. I really, this season, I wanted to really focus on the why, what the representation of Christmas is, and just that amazing story of our Savior being born. So I'm going to check my audio again. I cannot believe I did a whole day one and day two with my audio down this morning or this afternoon. So I'm doing day three also. So as y'all know, Advent starts technically on Sunday, but I was ending out my end of month stuff with my business. And so I knew I wouldn't be able to start the actual study with y'all until yesterday. But because of that, and because weekends, I won't always be on the weekends. Probably most weekends I won't come on. And so because of that, I'll double up some of the days just to kind of keep us on track with the actual Advent calendar. And so we'll do some catch up and, you know, fall back a little bit, catch up, but we're going to get through this, and I'm committed to getting through this with y'all, because it's so important to me that we all focus on our Savior. So day three, and again, this study is Prepare Him Room by Susie Larson, and it's such a great, I'm enjoying this Advent study so far. So day three, prepare the way. Today's reading, Luke 3. Other passages to ponder. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Romans 12, 2. My throat's getting a little dry. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Heaven is for sinners who face their sin. Hell is for those who refuse to see. One of the ironic similarities between heaven and hell is that no one in either place thinks they got what they deserve. John Fisher. We got pregnant on our honeymoon. This twist in our story startled us. We delivered our firstborn son just days before Christmas. I nestled him close by the light of our Charlie Brown Christmas tree, and my soul flooded with delight. I gazed at a miracle in my arms. I looked around our tiny home and pondered all we needed to do to make room for our new boy. I would do anything for this little one. Our lives would never be the same. I was just about to write the old cliche, no one prepared me for the journey of motherhood. But I think a more accurate statement is this: I had no idea what I was in for. The love, the worry, the fear, the heartbreaks, and the triumphs. No clue. But I wasn't ill-prepared. God used my journey to prepare me. Whenever we ask for more from God, he asks for more from us. Then John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. Isaiah had spoken of John when he said, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. The valleys will be filled and the mountains and hills made level. The curves will be straightened and the rough places made smooth. And then all people will see the salvation sent from God." Luke 3:3-6. John shouted to the crowds, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare." How? Did John expect people to rush home, get their act together, and come back another day for their baptism? What did he mean when he charged people to clear the way for Jesus? With the booming voice and deep conviction, John urged people to accomplish their need for a Savior, to own their sin. You'll never be free from sin you refuse to recognize. Ultimately, John was saying, prepare to change. Don't rush into the waters of baptism to escape hell. Acknowledge you need your need for a Savior. Repent of your sin. You prepare a way for the Lord in your life when you give him room to work on you and in you, to change you from the inside out. Are you ready to turn from your selfish, sinful ways, to follow Jesus on his terms? Are you ready for such a radical lifestyle change? This is not your work. You can't do this for yourself. It's the work of Christ within you, your hope of glory. Make no mistake, he will bring the high places low. He will humble you and dismantle your ego. He will lift the heavy burden from your shoulders and even carry you when you're too weary to walk on your own. He will put you right where you're thinking wrong. He'll not only save your soul, he will transform you into someone you never dreamed you could be. But the road won't be easy. You won't feel prepared for such a journey. But Jesus will prepare you for all he has for you. Salvation is not an escape route out of hell. It's the radical redemption of your life. You may ask, what should I do? The crowds ask the same question. God deals differently with all of us. He urged some to give out of their excess to the poor. If you have extra, give some to the poor. He told the corrupt tax collectors to quit swindling people out of their money. If you've been cheating others, you should stop doing so immediately. He charged the soldiers to quit misusing their power. Maybe you're in a position of influence and you've leveraged your role in your favor. If you ask God for forgiveness and begin to do the opposite, use your power to make life better for others. Christmas time probably isn't the best time to bring up Sodom's sins, but I can't help myself. Though most of us know the city of Sodom for her sexual immorality, Scripture records it this way. Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. Ezekiel 1:6-49. Wow. Arrogant, overfed, unconcerned, while the poor and needy suffered outside Sodom's door. Another translation lists her sins as pride, gluttony, and apathy. Easy to judge such a wicked city, right? But if I'm honest, I've overthought about myself or not thought enough of others too many times to count. I've indulged in more than I needed and turned a blind eye on a need that was well within my reach to meet. God have mercy. I don't want to live that way. Jesus made room for us in his heart, in his family, and at his table. He's gone away to prepare a spectacular place for us that no mind can imagine. He makes room for us every day by putting his time, energy, and attention into our lives. How might we do the same for him? We prepare him room. We give him time and space to speak to us about our lives, to correct and direct, to guide and provide. He's a gracious, loving, giving God. In Christ Jesus, we are uncondemnable. Our sin will never condemn us. Read this powerful passage. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. Hebrews 10:14. He made you perfect, and now he's making you holy. Prepare him room. Precious Lord, you made way for me. You made room for me in your kingdom, in your family. I'll never comprehend such love on this side of eternity. Forgive me for being so easily tempted towards pursuits that pull me away from you. I'm sorry for using Christmas time as an opportunity to impress more than bless. Yet I've come so far. I'm not who I once was, but I want a fresh vision for who I am about to become. I bow low upon my hands and make room for you. Speak to me, Lord. Transform me beyond my dreams and change the world through me. Amen. Look up. Today, fast from overdoing things in any way. Refuse to overeat, overspend, overcommit. Write down what you're fasting from, followed by a prayer inviting Jesus to make himself known in the space you're offering him today. Notice the ways you've already engaged with God this season and be grateful. So I want to go back to the make him room prayer, and I want to just kind of speak this over y'all, because I think this is so important. And this specific day, day three, really speaks to me, because I am doing my Christmas season a lot different than I ever have. And I know that it is a result of all the growth that has happened within me this year. Like, there's been such a cleansing and so many chains broken in my life. And I just really wanted to honor God. And in this prepare him room, she says, let's see, I've come so far. I'm not who I once was, but I want a fresh vision for who I am about to become. And I want to speak that over y'all right now, because I know that there are some of you that are suffering and struggling. I mean, I've spoken to so many people recently that are feeling this weight of regret and this weight of sin that they are trying to release from. And my advice to anybody going through that is give it to God. Like, we cannot get that freedom on our own. Like, it has to be through God and only God. And so I want to remind you, you are a child of the one true King. I mean, really wrap your mind around that. You are Jehovah's daughter. You are his daughter. He created you in your mother's womb. He knew you. He handpicked every little thing about you. You are not a mistake. There's nothing about you that's a mistake. And so I want to speak this over you right now, is that you are going to have a fresh vision for who you're about to become. Let this holiday season be a season that you lean into God and you learn more about the story of Jesus. Learn more about the prophets. Learn more about the people that waited in anticipation for him. I believe it was like over 680 years that whenever the prophecy started happening that a savior would come. 680 years, I think it was over 680 years that they were waiting in anticipation. Think about the things that you're waiting on. What are you waiting on? Is it a job? Is it marriage? Are you looking, waiting for your spouse, growing your family, adoption, getting pregnant, buying a home, those little things that we get so frustrated with. And we get weary and impatient, or maybe it is just those things of receiving freedom from something. And just, I want to promise you that God, his promises are so true and they're so real. And if people can wait 680 years plus for this savior to finally come, I mean, talk about just having hope and remaining in that hope. And so I want you to remember that this season, is that he is a miracle. I mean, Jesus is a miracle. The whole story is just astounding and amazing. And that's why it was important for me that we did some kind of study to talk about it. Teach your children that. Don't just make Christmas fun and games for your kids. I mean, yeah, sure, it's fun. Let them watch Rudolph or whatever it is that your kids watch. Do your gingerbread house and all, do the fun things. I'm not saying cut that out, but make sure that you are adding, and throughout the whole Advent season, sprinkling in the story of Jesus, the story of our Savior, the story of the prophets and the wise men and our Mother Mary. Tell them the story. Teach them. Do your candles. We started our Advent candles on Sunday. Lighting our candle. And so do those things. If you don't, know how it works and or you don't understand it, because that's how Darren and I were. We had to research and figure it out. Because this is actually the first year, confession here, this is the first year that Darren and I have actually done an Advent study and actually done the whole process of lighting our candle on Sunday. And so learn it, do it with your family, let it be a family thing and a family tradition where you're teaching your kids what Christmas really represents, what the true meaning behind it is. So I can't see, I just see Facebook user, but you said amen and yes, hope. So yes, amen, 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 and hope, hope, hope. That's what this season is, and I hope it's a reminder to y'all that miracles do happen. God is still on the throne. He is still our king, and he is a miracle maker, and he's got you. You are his daughter. He loves you. There is freedom at the cross. There's freedom with him. And it's me, Daya. Hi, Daya. Thank you for joining. So I hope that this blesses y'all. I hope that you'll stick with me throughout this Advent study. Again, I'll be doubling up some days because I'm not going to be here on the weekends. And we actually started the study late to when Advent starts on Sunday. And so I didn't start till Wednesday. And I apologize that y'all, but I had to close out my month. If y'all are business owners, you understand that the end of the month can sometimes be crazy and you're closing out your month and it's just nuts. So I knew I wouldn't be able to completely commit until the 1st of December. And so with that being said, we'll double up some of these days. So I love y'all. Good night. Thank you for joining me this late, Daya. It's so late. I don't know if you caught the beginning of this, but I actually went on earlier this afternoon and my audio is off. So I did the whole study with my audio off. So I didn't want to go to bed without getting something to y'all today. So anyway, y'all have a wonderful, wonderful Thursday, and I will see y'all tomorrow. Good night. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Please visit us at www.braided.faith and find us on all social media platforms under Crystal Addis or Braided Faith. We look forward to connecting with you.